Appreciate the song service this morning, Wes. Hi. It's good to see everybody today. We have several that are visiting with us. We have one very important young man that is here. I'm not sure where Brad and Kaylee are, and really, I don't care because their son is here, and we're glad to see him. But I know they're enjoying a little bit of a break. I was also thinking about how blessed we have been in this last year. We've had so many new people come into this congregation, and while I hesitate to name you all for fear that I might miss one, you've just really added to us and to our fellowship, and we have just truly enjoyed that, so appreciate that. I neglected last week a very important announcement. I try not to announce too much during the sermon, but we really owe a debt of gratitude to both Mike and to Guy for getting these walks and porches put together so that maybe we can walk up and down the porch and the walks and not catch a toe and have a permanent injury. But they put a lot of work into that. I know Chris was over here putting a lot of work into it as well, getting everything kind of swept up and some shovel work as well, and we appreciated that. But we just appreciate all the different things that are going on. We have a number of men that take part in kind of providing just an extra eye out during Sunday morning worship, and they wanted to visit with us perhaps on the way they're doing things and all. And so that's kind of the purpose of the men's get-together. If you would look at perhaps these 3 days for a possibility, after visiting with everybody, I think we're going to be looking at something along the lines of maybe a week. Well, actually, that does 2 weeks from this coming Friday night or Saturday night. 2 weeks from this, so nearly 3 weeks. 2 weeks from this coming Saturday morning for breakfast. Or perhaps even this Thursday evening if that worked out better. But give us your feedback on that. We do want to have this meeting in as timely a way as possible, but we have so many different things that are coming up. With some will be taking a vacation next week, and then 2 weeks from now we'll be in Denver doing a gospel meeting. Carolyn and I, well, I'll be doing the gospel meeting. She'll be telling me what I did wrong, hopefully, not too much, but we'll be doing that 2 weeks away, and so we won't be here in 2 weeks, but maybe those dates will work. So be thinking about that, and doesn't have to be just immediately after service, but if you'll think about that, we'll try and get either an evening or a morning for the men to get together and talk about that and some of the other important things that we need to visit about. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn over, the passage I want to start with this morning is found in in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. This morning I want to talk about the simplicity of our service to God. And the reason I want to talk about that is because I believe sometimes we make things just way too hard. And that was never God's intent, I don't believe. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked him, "Lord, don't you care? My sister has left me to do all the work by myself. Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." There's a lot in there, but there's a lot of human nature when you think about it in here, this idea of there's work to be done. And I don't know about you, but there are a few things that are more frustrating when you've got physical work to do and other people see that, but they won't pitch in and help. It just is, it's kind of maddening. And so you can empathize with Martha when you think about her sister Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus just visiting. She wasn't just visiting. She was listening to what Jesus had to say. Jesus had the words of life. And Jesus was pointing out to Martha that Mary chose what was better. Physical things do indeed have to be taken care of. And there's plenty of instruction within Scripture that address that. But the spiritual comes first. How often would they have an opportunity to be with Jesus, to hear what he had to say? And so Jesus was merely pointing out that this was the superior, this was the better. And within this passage, I think we see the simplicity of God's plan. Because we get caught up in everything in this world, do we not? Oh, I've got to work today, got to do this, got to do that, I have to. We just roil ourselves up with the things we have to do. And so much of it really does have to be done. But it's when you take care of the spiritual first that the physical kind of sifts into place. But you try to take care of the physical first and your spiritual life will never, let me repeat that. When you take care of the physical first, your spiritual life will never be what God intended for it to be. And that's why Jesus said, in this instance, Mary chose what was better. Now, I'm going to use a couple of examples, and I do so, I realize, at peril, because sometimes when you get to thinking about something else, our minds will go in a different direction for the rest of the time, and especially in one of these instances. But I'll begin with the other, and the first is this. Did you know that just by consuming around 3,500 to 4,000 extra calories in a year's time will cause you to gain an extra pound? No big deal. 3,500, 4,000 calories, that's not a lot, is it? As a matter of fact, I broke it down in something that was meaningful to me. That's the equivalent of one half of one Hershey's Kiss a day. Will add to you 1 pound a year. Again, not a big deal. But you know what I found out last year after Carolyn and I had been married for 36 years? I'd been having the equivalent of a half of a Hershey's Kiss every day for 36 years, and I was about 36 pounds heavier than I was the year we got married. Something as simple as 11 calories a day changed not only my life, but my physical appearance, way beyond just the natural aging. And so here's something that simply can be done. Now, I realize there's a lot of things that go into that. I give up chocolate, I'm going to crave at least 200 or 300 calories to replace that because I'm always going to be wanting it. But you understand, if you take that much fewer calories a year, everything else being equal, you will gain 1 pound less. Now, here's something that may even be near and dear to people's hearts, and that's money. If you do not control $2.28 a day of your budget, after 30 years, and I know about this, you will owe $25,000. Just not controlling $2.28 a day of your budget. If you make $25,000 a day, that's just a little of over 3% of your budget. Most people make more than $25,000 a year. Most people make more than $25,000 a year. So if you make $50,000 a year, you're looking at about 1.5% of your total budget, $2.28 a day. This is something I think that you would agree would be doable. But after 30 years, as I look back on what I had done to Carolyn's and mine's budget, I found ourselves $25,000 in debt. And you know what that did? At 10% interest, that added another $6.84 a day that we had to pay out. Three times the $2.28 that I didn't pay attention to the first 30 years. But there's something more than that. Had I taken the difference between that $2.28 that I didn't keep track of and that $6.84 that now I had to pay in interest, just that difference, $4.56, after 30 years, would be $50,000. Now, if I'd invested that in something wise, like cardboard or bananas or something like that, or maybe even something just as simple as a mutual fund, or maybe as simple as gold, or buying, say, lots and happy that you could get as many as you wanted for $500 a piece as recently as about 10 years ago, you would have a minimum investment of somewhere between $150,000 to well over $750,000, depending on which one of those investments you chose. For $4.56 a day that I was paying over the $2.28 a day that I didn't keep track of. Now, My neighbor's house is now up for sale for $128,000. So had I invested foolishly and just gotten the minimum, I could have gone over and just given them cash for that house, free and clear. All because I didn't keep track of $2.28 a day. Now that part I know about. I've got a master's degree in finance and economics, and I still did that to us. I don't know so much about calories. I'm not good on diet, but I looked this up online, and those who say they know apparently do. Simple things can change your physical life. Physical things can change your monetary standing or your financial standing. Now, the reason I say I kind of hesitate to bring that up is because now people's minds may be going in that direction. Bring them back. Because, and you think about it later. And you can even check my figures if you wish. So, but especially on the important things like half a Hershey's Kiss a day, because that's chocolate. We all value that. But think about this now. When Jesus said to Martha, Mary had chosen what was better, this is simple. This is just going and getting the words of Christ. Simple. And yet it was enough to change Mary's life. Mary was the one who anointed Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her tears, with her hair, because of the tears that had fallen on her feet. Jesus said that the story of Mary would be told wherever the gospel was preached. And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this is taught. Mary chose what was better. Mary was so touched by the words of Christ that her story of something as that simple act of love is still told today. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 6, the prophet inspired by God said this, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" In other words, what great thing can I do to please God? Well, we know sacrificing your child wouldn't be anything that'd be pleasing to him, but that would be a big thing for you. And Micah, writing about this, just talks about some of these sacrifices were required by God. There were daily sacrifices that had to be made by God on behalf of the entire tribe, but there were also sacrifices the individual had to make when he had sin in his life, and also sacrifices that the individual had to make for certain times of the year. And they even had free will offerings for those who just wanted to do something special for God in a sacrifice. Would this be pleasing to God? Well, we know he commanded the sacrifice, so we know that this would be pleasing to God. But look at what God has Micah say. "He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you?" And now notice the simplicity. "To act justly and love mercy and walk humbly with your God." There were literally hundreds of requirements contained in the law of Moses, in the law that the people were under at the time Micah was writing. And yet, he just put all those things aside. It's not that they weren't important. They were all required. But God wanted the people to be thinking about what was most important: justice, mercy, and a humble walk, the way you live each day before God. That's what pleases God. It's still what pleases God today. We're under the New Testament dispensation. There are many commandments that we are required to follow, but you cannot get around the fact that he still wants justice, he still wants mercy, and he still wants a humble life before him. That humble walk before God, by the way, entails all the things that we've talked about, the laws and the regulations, but it's just living well. I had somebody come up to me the other day, and he said, "There is a lady I'd like to have added to y'all's mowing." And he told me why she was worthy of doing that, and she is worthy of doing that. That's a humble walk before God. That's just trying to figure out, hey, there's somebody that needs help. Let's help her. And he did. And then he said, maybe we could all help a little bit. And I think that's a good idea. What is your humble walk before God? Do you have justice and mercy in your life? Because if you do, that's going to help the Christian life. The Christian life is so simple. And again, I want to say, the things we talked about, $2.28 a day seems too simple to own a house free and clear, doesn't it, after 30 years? And if you invested wisely to have that house and be able to pay for the utilities for the rest of your life. That seems too simple. To love justice and mercy and to live well before God seems simple. Do you know that what Christ requires of you and what God requires of you? They require first that when you are old enough to take this mature decision that you become a Christian. Once you've heard the word and believed it and confessed your belief in Christ and repented of your sins and are baptized to have your sins washed away, you are a Christian. What do you do after that? Well, you read His word and you find out how He wants you to live. It's pretty simple. As you go through the New Testament, you're going to find far fewer commandments in the New Testament than they had to live under the Old Testament law. But they're basic. They involve just basic things that will make your life better, make you a better neighbor, but more importantly, make you a better servant of God. So you read the word and you pray. In Hebrews chapter, by the way, if you've been following along with this 90-day study, and I hope you have. I have not tried to pound everybody to death on this. I just want you to be able to read and to study on your own, because I think that you and I have that obligation. If you find a better way to read and study, by all means do it. But read and study you must. But as we were going through today's reading in Hebrews chapter 4, notice this in verse 1, and notice the simplicity. Therefore, while the promise of entering His rest, He's just been giving the example of the Israelites going into the promised land, their rest. He's been giving that example. And He says, therefore, while the promise of entering His rest still stands, now He's pointing towards heaven, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. We need to have enough concern in our life that we might fail to reach heaven, that we do something about it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, talking about the Israelites who wandered in the desert, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Well, as we talk about that in the New Testament, we talk about the gospel. Some of your versions may say they didn't combine it with faith. They don't get heaven because they didn't combine what they heard with faith. Faith is going to cause you to do something. What will it cause you to do? Well, now look at Hebrews chapter 5. Starting in verse 7, again, part of our study for today, if you're following along with that part. In the days of His flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverence. Although He was a son, He learned obedience through what He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation. And listen to this part. Jesus, He became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. And so now we see that faith or our belief has to be combined with obedience. But if we do that, we get eternal life. It seems too simple. It's like $2.28 a day. It just seems way too simple. But when you really look at it, it really works. And God wants us to understand that. He wants you to understand that in this world where it just seems like everything is swirling around like a tornado sometimes, and you're spending most of your day just ducking to get out of the way of things, if you'll just catch your breath, be a Christian, read what God wants you to do. Pray to Him for help to do it. That's all you need. But if you don't, you're going to end up with the equivalent of a lifetime of debt or a lifetime of weight or whatever it is. But in this case, you're going to end up with a lifetime of sin that is not forgiven. And so if we miss the simplicity of the word, we're going to fail to enter into the rest that God has prepared for those He loves. Why would we do that with something so simple? And again, I want to say it's because we get distracted. Why didn't I keep up with $2.28 a day? Because I was distracted. Why didn't I keep up with the equivalent of a half of a Hershey's Kiss a day for 36 years? Because I was distracted. Why are people going to hell? Is it because God hates them? No. It's because they're distracted from the simple, beautiful life He calls them to. God does not want you to have pain in your life. He does not want you to have suffering in your life. He certainly doesn't want you to be lost. And so He presents to you a simple plan. Listen to this in Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. There's more to it than this, but if you have this, you'll get the more to it. Jesus is talking, and hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested Him with a question. I don't know that he even wanted an answer. He just wanted to test Jesus, but look at the beauty of what he got. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Carolyn's pointed this out to me many times through the years as we get these two commands mixed up. We love our neighbor as ourself first before we love God. And so we say, oh, I know they're doing this, but oh, I love them so much, they'll be okay. Even though God said, no, you can't do that. We love God first, and then we can know what to do to show love for our neighbor. Our neighbor may be in danger of being lost for all eternity. If we love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, aren't we going to be finding out what He wants us to do? Aren't we going to be praying for help to do it? And then when we see people who really need help, then we can love them as ourselves and help them. And I want to say again, everything that we have looked at today seems too simple. But if you'll apply it, it will change your life. The things we talked about earlier will change your life physically, it's true. But these things will change your eternity. And they'll change the way you live now. And that's what God wants. Simple, but effective. Which do you want? The invitation's open. You may be ready to become a Christian today. We'd love to help you with that. Maybe you just want to study a little bit more and you'd like to request a study. Just let me know after services. We'll get together and do that. Maybe you need the prayers of the congregation. But whatever it is that you need, won't you come forward and let us know about those needs while we stand and sing.